I invite you to please stand for the reading of the gospel. Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put in it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." And this is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise
you, Lord
Christ.
You may be seated. Oh, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to start this morning by first sharing a short devotion I read this week by Peter Craig. Craig writes, "When Mary anoints Jesus, we see an intimate act of love and kindness because the description of Mary taking the costly perfume, wiping Jesus' feet with her hair, and filling the house with her fragrant offering vividly wants to fill our senses too. Yes, the action taken by Mary becomes a prophetic moment in the story because of its pointing ahead to the death of Jesus on Good Friday. And the love Mary shows in wiping Jesus' feet with her hair reminds me of a program called Locks of Love. Now, Locks of Love is a program where individuals are able to donate their hair to children who, for whatever reason, have had to endure a medical hair loss. It's a program that allows the kindness and compassion of donors to be physically shared with children in recovery. And what's more, this sharing is an extension of Christ's love towards others. Because sharing simple acts of kindness like this can transform another person's life. Transform another person's life in a way that some might even consider extraordinary. And we just got done hearing about another extraordinary act when Mary puts her love for Jesus into action for everyone to see. Now, our gospel story for today is one that is found in some form or another in all four gospels. The essential features or structure of the story are this. The incident happened right before the Passover near Jerusalem and in the little village of Bethany. This incident apparently happened in the home of Simon the leper, according to one of the Gospels, who Jesus had just recently healed. And then some woman, who is Mary, according to John's Gospel, takes a pound of expensive perfume, lets down the tightly wrapped bun of her hair, and as she lets her hair fall, she begins to wash the feet of Jesus. She is weeping, kissing Jesus' feet, anointing his feet with the perfume as a gesture of her deepest love, all the while drying his feet with her long, falling hair. Then in the middle of this tender, emotionally riveting scene, there's a spoil sport. someone who wants to ruin the mood. This is Judas. Judas, the keeper of the money purse, who grumbles, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" But Jesus defends the woman and says, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." That's the whole story. That's the essential flow. It's simply a story of a woman offering an extravagant gift to the man who has meant so much to both her and her family. Now, we know this family of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus from other stories in the Bible. We know the Mary and Martha story. You know the story about how Martha was so busy in the kitchen preparing for her special guest, Jesus, that she got all worked up because she had to do all the work herself. She got all worked up, more than a little mad, and probably was a little jealous too. And so Martha made a scene at this meal. An angry scene that led to Jesus telling Martha, "You are worried and distracted by many things. Now there is need of only one thing. And Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Yes, and in that story, Jesus seemed to belittle Martha for her frantic activity and busyness in the kitchen and praised Mary for sitting at his feet and listening to his words. And in the story for today, we see the same pattern continue because once again Jesus has come to a home in Bethany and Martha is once again busy preparing the evening dinner. This time, however, she's not grumbling or trying to get Mary to help. But rather we read that both Martha and Mary are serving the Lord joyfully in their own unique ways. Yes, in this story, Martha is not the bad one, but instead, Judas seems to take on this role as Martha has already repented of her past misgivings, received Christ's assurance of forgiveness, and has moved forward in life to use her God-given gifts for good. In this case, preparing a small feast. A feast maybe in honor of Jesus for raising her brother Lazarus from the dead, or maybe because she knows, like Mary, that this may well be their final meal with Jesus before his death. Now, I find it so telling that these two sisters are the ones who seem to really listen to Jesus, while the male disciples still seem lost, simply refusing to hear what they don't want to hear. Because remember, Jesus has already predicted his passion, his death, numerous times, but the men just don't get it and they refuse to hear and acknowledge what this will mean. But not the women. No, the women have heard Jesus speak, and while I'm sure it saddened them to know Jesus was nearing the end of his life, still they trusted. Still they followed, and still they loved this man named Jesus. Jesus, the man they have traveled on and off with for almost 3 years. Jesus, the man who brought their brother back from the dead. And Jesus, who had showed them through his every word and every action what it means to love God and love one another. And so on this night, they have gathered to send Jesus off in style and to prepare a feast and wash his feet with perfume. Their actions are heartfelt, and what's more, they are foreshadowing what Jesus himself will do for his disciples in less than a week. Because in less than a week, Jesus will enter Jerusalem triumphantly, where he'll be hailed as the coming Messiah by the crowd, and then just as quickly, the crowds will disappear and his distractors will come forward calling for his death. But before his death, he will dine with his disciples in the upper room, where they will all share a meal. They will eat bread and drink wine, and then Jesus will remind them to remember him always. And the other thing Jesus will do on that last night together with his disciples is to wash their feet. Now both of these acts seem surprisingly a little like Martha preparing a meal and Mary washing feet, don't they? Maybe that's why this gospel lesson is so fitting for our fifth Sunday in Lent. Rather fitting for our last Sunday before Jesus enters into Jerusalem, enters into the beginning of the end, and enters into doing what must be done. Sure, the perfume Mary used to anoint Jesus' feet was a lot, and in today's dollars might even have been worth a whole year's salary. Sure, Mary's was an extravagant gesture. And sure, Judas was even right when he says that the money could have gone a long way to help the poor. But you know what? Sometimes a true gift is beyond our comprehension. Sometimes a true gift is inexplicable. And sometimes what makes a gift great is that it defies any rational explanation or use. Remember, God did not have to come into this world to live among us, and Jesus did not have to die on a cross for our sins. But this is what happened. But before this occurred, Jesus took the time to save her life for one of the last times with his closest friends. And Mary and Martha also understood this was one of those special moments that needed to be savored too. One of those fleeting moments that you've got to grab onto before it vanishes. And one of those moments when it's all right to just throw common sense to the wind. So did Jesus need a big meal? No. So did Jesus need a pound of perfume rubbed into his feet? I doubt it. But think about this. When Jesus lived, people didn't take showers or baths every day. And so that much perfume probably clung to him for a long time. So long, in fact, that I wonder if 6 days later, as he hung on the cross, near to death, he was not comforted by the fragrance still clinging to his body. A fragrance that reminded him he had made a difference. A fragrance that reminded him he had fulfilled his Father's mission. And a fragrance that reminded him that he had done good. And you know what's more? You can still smell this fragrance too. As it's the fragrance of forgiveness still permeating through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Amen.